There's a new book out by Dr. Michael Brown, Evangelicals at the Crossroads. It's related to Trump. And in fact, Dr. Brown contrasts the Trump cult versus the Trump derangement syndrome. Which do you fit in? I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and hopefully it's neither. But let's talk to Dr. Michael Brown. Thank you so much for joining us again.
You are very welcome. Great to be with you.
So you like these Trump books. You did one on Trump is not my savior, but he is my president, and Jesus is my savior. And it's good, though. It's important because people do fall in one extreme or the other when it comes to Trump.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Trump, on the one hand, has done more for evangelical causes than any president we've had.
Yeah.
He's kept his word to evangelicals. He's done just what he said he would. He's kept the door open to evangelicals. That's been great. On the other hand, he has hurt the evangelical cause in many ways by his behavior, by who he is. And then our association with him has been negative in terms of it makes us look bad when he does wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how can we vote appropriately, make a decision based on platforms and who we think is the better candidate, 2016,
mm-hmm.
Trump versus Clinton, presumably 2020, Trump versus Biden? How can we do that while preserving our testimony in the light of a watching world? And that's a large reason that I wrote this book.
Excellent. And you even reference a new book out, or it's new to me, Ronald J. Sider, who's basically kind of a liberal evangelical, and he edited a book with something like 30 different evangelicals who speak out against Trump. I have to admit, though, I look through that list, and I haven't heard of most of those people. I've heard of one or two. In fact, I think I've heard of Mark Galley. He's the guy that wrote the Christianity Today editorial against Trump about a year ago saying no evangelicals should support this man. But most of them I haven't heard about. Was your book in any way a response to the Ron Sider book, or was it just kind of coincidental?
No, I've worked on this book for months and done massive research and read a ton of stuff from the anti-Trump camp, the never-Trump camp, interacted with some of the most prominent voices, and tried to lay out as clearly as I could the argument against Trump, and then respond to it as someone who plans to vote for Trump again in 2020,
mm-hmm.
but then also to give us a strategy to move forward where we could put the cross before the flag, proclaim Jesus as our Savior versus Trump as our president, that we'd have a path forward that would be wise, that we could not pull away from the political process, but stay involved while maintaining our testimony. It just so happens that right as this book is going to press, that the Ronald Sider book comes out. So some of the authors I've already interacted with, like John Fee, for example.
Oh, I like him. He's nice. I interviewed him once on this radio show, and you know, he disagreed with me that the founders, that Christianity played an important role in their lives, but at least he was respectful in the process.
It turns out, I mean, he's an adamant never-Trumper, and I understand his different views of American history and so on. I've thought I imagine in my mind the two of you interacting on it, in fact. But I've read what he had to say. I've read what others had to say. And some of the concerns have some validity to them. In other words, there are evangelical leaders who seem to be kind of an appendage of the Republican Party and defenders and apologists of Trump. That doesn't help our witness because he's not Jesus. And he's a divisive kind of person and does all kinds of things that we would never do. On the flip side, when it comes down to how we vote, that's what we have to reduce it to. I have a whole chapter in the book asking the question, what if Hillary had been elected? I look at larger issues. Think of this for a minute.
Think of the Little Sisters of the Poor.
If you think of Trump standing up to the tyranny of China, do you think that persecuted Christians in China or persecuted Muslims are saying to themselves, yeah, but the guy can be nasty? Do you think that unborn babies whose lives may be saved because of Trump's legislation or hopefully more court appointees, do you think that they're saying, yeah, I know he's saving our lives, but he could be nasty? In other words, I don't like that he's nasty. I don't like that he can be so divisive and attack people, call them dogs and throw Jeff Sessions under the bus. I don't like any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it comes down to when I have the opportunity to vote, who is going to stand for the things that are important to me? I would love it if he was the nicest guy on the planet, backbone of steel, fought like anything, but he was the sweetest. That would be wonderful if he was if I could point everyone and say, he is the most Christ-like president we've ever had. But on the flip side, has anyone shown character by standing up to resistance the way he has? Has anyone pushed back against the radical left, exposed the radicality of the Democrat Party? Has anyone done it the way Trump has? No. Has anyone kept his promise to evangelicals the way Trump has? No. You've been at this longer than I have in terms of political focus, but you know we normally help someone get elected, and then, once they're elected, they kind of cut us off. Trump hasn't done that. Mm-hmm. So we've got to look at character in a multifaceted way. And then again, when it comes down to voting, where do we want to cast our vote?
Excellent point. As far as his nastiness, you can take the man out of New York City, but you can't necessarily take New York City out of the man. And I don't mean that, you know, as a slight on all New Yorkers, but you remember about 3 months ago when, you know, Senator Schumer stood up in front of the Supreme Court and he yelled at Gorsuch and he yelled at Kavanaugh and he said, if you guys, you know, give us a vote that's against reproductive freedom, in other words, a vote that's pro-life as opposed to pro-abortion, you know, you're going to reap the whirlwind or not, you know. And then Chief Justice Roberts, basically told Schumer, you know, this is unprecedented. You shouldn't threaten any Supreme Court judge or justice over any particular decision. And the next day, Schumer gave a half-hearted apology, and he basically said, well, I'm from New York, and that's, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, and you know, that's the way we talk there, so, you know, I'm sorry, not really. Okay, goodbye. You know, anyway, the nastiness of Trump. Let me ask you a question. Bonhoeffer, his name has come up in some of your literature promoting your book.
Yeah.
What would Dietrich Bonhoeffer do if he were faced with Biden or Trump in 2020?
Yeah, so it's a fascinating question. I have a chapter in the book, What Would Bonhoeffer Do? Because the Dietrich Bonhoeffer Society publicly came out and said Trump basically is a menace and should step away and Christians cannot stand with him. And of course, Eric Metaxas, my good friend and a Bonhoeffer scholar, is a strong Trump supporter. So there are some differences there. Obviously, only God knows what Bonhoeffer would do because he lived in a different place and a different time. But Bonhoeffer's great concerns about the church welcoming Hitler or the church looking to Hitler as some kind of savior figure, and then the church compromising its values and not seeing the danger that Hitler was, and the early threats against the Jews. All of this, I look at the parallels. I look at what Hitler said and did, and what church leaders said and did. It's completely 100% different than evangelicals and Trump. You cannot compare them in any way. And I think Bonhoeffer would vote pro-life as a high priority.
You know, I think you need some water, and while you're getting that, let me just say this. I am not ashamed to say that I'm a one-issue voter, and that issue is pro-life. I'm not ashamed to say that because I feel like if you get the abortion issue wrong, what else do you get wrong? If you get the abortion issue right, then you get a lot of other things right. And therefore, you know, Trump has been very not just satisfactory, he has been excellent on the whole issue of life in terms of the judges he's appointed, in terms of some of the executive orders. And I trust you've gotten your water. Why don't you comment on the, you know, Trump and the life issue?
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I start there. That's my first issue. It's not my only issue, but it's my first issue. And if I'd lived in the days of slavery, I imagine it would be the same thing. That's the first issue. And then we look after that where a candidate stands. So look, obviously we've been disappointed with some of the rulings of some of the Trump appointees, but he has kept his word. He's the first president in our history to address the pro-life march in person.
Yeah.
He has done everything he promised he would do. And you're talking about the slaughter of the unborn. And you ask, okay, what if it goes in the other direction? What if it was Hillary Clinton appointing justices or Joe Biden appointing justices? That's going to seal the deal. Roe v. Wade doesn't get overturned. other bills, heartbeat bills, whatever, when they get to the Supreme Court, immediately get vetoed. So when it comes to voting, what are we asking a president to do? Are we asking him to be a nice guy? Are we asking him to be a moral example? Again, that would be great, but we're talking about the slaughter of the unborn. We're talking about something that in the future will look just as ugly to future generations as slavery looks to us today. So, of course, I'm going to prioritize that. If Trump had not kept his word, if he had been wishy-washy, and it was him versus Joe Biden, I might not vote at all. I'd say, fine, I'll sit this out or vote a third-party candidate. But Trump has been the opposite of that. And to me, that's crucial, and I stand with you 100%. When you then add in fighting for religious freedoms, when you then add in standing against radical LGBTQ activism, when you add in standing with Israel, pushing back against world terror, those are big, big issues to me. And again, the candidates are so starkly different on those issues.
It was said of George Washington that one of his mottos was deeds, not words. And I think that might, be applicable here. Joe Biden, as a candidate, has been pushed to the left even more. So if he was, quote unquote, moderate on abortion maybe 10, 15 years ago, where does he stand today, especially after these debates where they just keep going left, 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 left?
Yeah, and he was more moderate in the past, but has now renounced some of his position. And with all respect to former Vice President Biden, it does seem that he's a weaker man today than he was in years past. And to me, that just means he would be a puppet or a tool of the radical left. Hmm. And one thing that's happened with Donald Trump's presidency, and I open it up in the book as well, is that he has been a wrecking ball who has brought all kinds of foundations to the surface. In other words, the Democrat Party is not the party of Bill Clinton. This is a different party. It's not the Democrat Party my dad was part of when I was a boy. This is a radical leftist, socialist, Marxist-leaning party. The left-wing media doesn't even make a pretense of trying to be honest or objective. There is a desire to get rid of Donald Trump at any cost. They hate him. So he has really exposed things. And instead of Joe Biden being a moderating force and pushing back against the radical left and saying, that's not where our party is going, he's almost like a puppy dog being pulled along, because the only way he could make it as a Democrat candidate is to espouse these things. He even had a change in one of his debates, say, hey, I no longer hold to this, the Hyde Amendment and just a slightly moderate view of abortion. I'm not there anymore. I'm radically in for the most radical bills. So that's what we're facing. If Christians can go about doing what they're called to do on the ground, in their neighborhoods, in their communities, shining light, loving their neighbors, doing what's good, let's do that. Let our witness be seen and heard. And when it comes time to vote, we vote for the candidate who best represents our values.
Okay, the book is called Evangelicals at the Crossroads. The website, AskDrBrown.org. We have 30 seconds to wrap up. What are your comments about the Trump derangement syndrome?
The Trump derangement syndrome is undeniable. I have a chapter asking, is it the cult of Trump where people worship Trump, or is it the Trump derangement syndrome where he seems to drive people mad that they behave in ways that are shocking? I've seen people, scholars, mature theologians, when they start talking about Trump, it's like they've lost their mind. He's bringing something out. It's dangerous. Let's look at reality, and let's not get caught up in the cult of Trump or Trump derangement syndrome.
Dr. Michael Brown, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.